All right, we're going to continue our study here today. We've got a lot of territory to cover. I've been doing this series because I want River Life to be the smartest people in town, amen? And we're going to know the basics of what God wants us to understand, because we know that there's a devil out there, and he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy through false teaching and through false prophets and false teachers that are trying to come in and affect the sheep's thinking. Because we live in a culture that is attacking our minds. And that culture is trying to undermine the authority of God's word in our life. And we need to resist and to fight back by being a student of God's word. Amen? So, we're going to look today as what the Bible says about healing. You know, healing is one of those things that's kind of scary for some to talk about. But nevertheless, it is in God's Word, and it is part of God's promise, and we're going to look at that today, just to kind of see what God says about it. Now, something we have to keep in mind is, as like I said, there's a lot of strongholds in our life that are holding us back, and I do believe that we in the West, compared to people in other countries, due to our teaching and due to the ease that we have with our medical science and things like that, which is good. You know, I'm for doctors and I'm for all the things that they do to help us out. But nevertheless, I do believe that strongholds have been established in our mind that cause us to trust more in doctors than we do in God's Word. Because I don't think we need to throw one, you know, the baby out with the bathwater, right? You know, it's okay to go to the doctor, but I tell you what, I'd rather go to Dr. Jesus first, amen? You know, that's what we need to do as a student of the Word. Now, did you know, I'm sure you guys do because you're the best, that getting saved and getting healed takes the same kind of faith? There's only one faith it talks about in the Bible. It's the same faith, but it just depends on the approach that we have on it, because one of them defies logic and the other denies feelings. Logic says, in my mind, that somebody dying on the cross, that cannot save me, but yet nevertheless it did. And the same goes with healing, you know, because it denies the feelings in our body sometimes. And we have to go against that. And, you know, I believe with God's word we can. Now, sin and sickness and disease were all introduced to us in the Garden of Eden at the same time to all mankind, when Adam and Eve sinned and fell from God's grace and God's glory there. And God came to restore that when he, you know, through the Old Testament, he did different things, and then also through Jesus Christ, where grace was just poured out upon us. Now, you and I don't like to be sick. At least I don't. I don't know about you guys. I'll be honest, I haven't been sick in about 3 years. You know, God is starting to give me some information and revelation in my own life. Now, I've had a couple opportunities every now and then, but I just resist them. You know, and this came, you know, because this is one of the things that used to bug me more than about anything. Because, you know, I knew what God's word said, yet I wasn't walking in it. And I'm starting to walk in it more. I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm not going to quit either. Amen. I'm not finished. So I'm going to keep on moving towards God. And I do know that somebody in Bible school the other, you know, a while back says, you know, you never get sick. I says, yeah, praise God. You know. It's because of God's word, because, you know, I've started to put, now, like I said, I've had opportunities. I've been under attack a time or two, but I just choose not to accept it. I put it down under my feet. You know, I'm not afraid of the flu. I'm not afraid of colds, anything like that. I haven't had to deal with anything big, you know, in my own body. But, you know, as far as that stuff goes, I mean, you know, Satan's got to get some new material. You know what I mean? You know, I just trust God, and I've learned some things, and I'm going to share a couple of those things a little bit later on. That's really going to help you, I hope. Now, to me, with us trying to find the cure, we do know the truth is that Jesus is the only true cure. Now, God created our bodies to want to heal themselves. If you cut yourself and open that wound up, primarily that thing is going to start healing. God has created us with certain things in our body, you know, the coagulation of the blood and all these different things, and then the healing process. I mean, I'll be honest, you know, I have been injured since. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't know how that happened. I can't remember, but I had an injury on my finger. You know, I was kind of wondering if I was ever gonna be able to not feel pain in that finger again. You know, And then for a process of time, but it's all healed up. Now I can touch anything I want. No pain. But see, the body was created like that. God made us that way. Now we know though, there's certain attacks that come up on our body that's a little bit tougher, but that's okay because we serve a big God. Now Jesus paid for healing just as much as he paid for our sins, and that's hard. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of wrong teaching out there in well-meaning denominations that say that Jesus did not pay for our healing at the cross, and that is the biggest lie that has been told since Satan tricked Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because we serve a good God, and God has made a way, and it's up to us to be able to try to enter into that. The passage we're going to look at starting off here, we're going to look at a couple, three scriptures, is in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, right now. Lord, for the power of your word and the power of your presence in our life. Lord, I thank you. You'll never leave us or forsake us, and we're never alone. Once we become born again, the Holy Spirit comes to reside inside of us, and he's the Spirit of truth, and he leads us to all truth. Lord, right now, I just want to yield to the gift you put inside of me, Lord, to be able to bring forth the Word of God, hopefully in a way that we all understand. And Lord, I just pray for words that pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here we see from this passage, this is an Old Testament passage, and this is one, you know, as it looked here, remember it says, you know, his griefs and sorrows. And we're going to look at that in a moment. Now, by his stripes or by his scourging, it says we are healed. As I mentioned, in the fall, I'm going to lay a little foundation here, man's spirit was disconnected from God in a sense because of spiritual death. And we've looked at that before. You know, until you're born again, you are spiritually dead. Your spirit does exist, but what that's talking about is there's a barrier between you and God. God is a spirit. And when Adam sinned and that sin came in and started to destroy lives, what it did, it made a separation between us and God because we are a spirit being. You know, the Bible talks spirit, soul, and body. I've always said man is a spirit, has a soul, lives in a body. So all these three things are going to come into play. Now, so man's spirit was disconnected at the time due to that sin in the Garden of Eden. Also, man's soul was corrupted by sin. You know, we have that sin nature. It's that attitude. Even though you're born again right now, how many know you're not perfect? How many don't know they're perfect? Somebody tell them right now, hey, you're not perfect. You're not perfect. You know, because it's going to take a little while. Matter of fact, it's going to take till we get to be in heaven, till we're really perfect again. And then thirdly, man's body was exposed to disease and physical death. See, God created Adam and Eve to live forever. They were never supposed to fall, but they did. So what happened then? All these three things are introduced into mankind. And we also know, I just want to throw this out there as an extra little deal, is that spiritual and emotional problems can also be responsible for organic diseases. Meaning that when we have spiritual and emotional things going on in our life, it can affect our body. It can affect our physical health and weigh on us and weigh us down and start to bring things into our body to make us not feel good. Now I want to see here, I want to ask you a question. Why was Jesus beaten? Or why was Jesus scourged? It's easy for us just to throw that into the whole pile and say, well, Jesus was, you know, scourged to save us from our sins. Ain't wrong. He was the Paschal Lamb. No place in Scripture do you ever see that the sacrifice was ever tortured before they were put to death. I challenge you to find that for me. There is no place in Scripture where the lamb was ever tortured. The bull, the goat, the bird, anything was was ever tortured. So there must be something more to it that we don't see all the time. See, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's all he would have had to do. But I want you to know today that our God is not a quitter. Our God is not a quitter. Because man is a spirit, has a soul, and he lives in a body. He sent Jesus Christ to redeem all three parts of us. All three. Spirit, soul, body. And that's what happened at the cross. When Jesus Christ, it happened also before the cross, but that whole process of the crucifixion, when Jesus Christ came and he was our substitute, because he wanted to bring us back into total restoration and relationship to what God has for our lives. Now, like I mentioned, Jesus did not have to be scourged to purchase our salvation. Now, salvation is very important. That's the main thing. You know, if you died of some disease, but you're a Christian, you still go to be in heaven, amen? But if you get healed in your body and you're not a Christian, you still go to hell. That's just the way it is. I didn't write it, I'm just reading it, amen? That's just the way it goes. So we need to, number one, make sure that we're a Christian. Make sure that we're born again. So, Jesus Christ technically was scourged for our healing. Now, Jesus was doing more in that whole process than meets the eye. And sometimes we don't understand everything. You know, back about the spirit, soul, and body, that's all taken in the redemption. That's a big Christian word where it talks about to buy back or to bring back when we were redeemed. That's how much God loves us. God did not give up. I mean, I'll be honest with you, salvation would have been enough, right? To get to go to be in heaven should have been enough. But God does so much more. So much more. He's a God that is more than enough for any area of our life. If we're willing to tap in to the principles, like I said, we in the West are so self-sufficient, and the way that we approach life sometimes is contrary to the way that we understand God's words and God's principles. So first, our spirit, when you're born again, there's a big word we talk about, it's called regenerated. Everybody say regenerated. Okay, that's what happens when you're born again. Your spirit becomes alive unto God again, because it was dead spiritually. It was separated from God. And that's number one, what Jesus did when he paid for a price. Number two is our soul. Now that's a different duck in some ways, because our soul is the part of us that's our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions. And what that's being doing is renewed. It's renewed by the Word of God. So you and I have to read God's Word, or not have to, we get to, amen. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege that we get to do that. Not everybody gets to do that. But we have God's Word, and what it does, it changes our thinking, it changes our approach to life and the way that we do things. So that's renewed. So number one is regenerated, number two is renewed, and then the third one is our body. God did not kick our body to the curb. The third one is restored, restoration. Now, how that works, when our body's not totally going to be restored in a sense, but we're going to get a new body. And that new body happens when Jesus Christ comes again for the church. And the Bible says that those who are dead in Christ will meet him in the air, and then if we are on the ground, we'll also meet him. You know, we get that glorified body. It's a different body. But until then, God has also made some provisions for us for to be able to walk in divine health and to believe in divine healing. So your spirit's as born again as you're going to get. You're as saved as you're going to get as far as your legal side of your redemption. And then the fact that you come to church and you read the Word on your own and you study and be a part of things, well, that's going to help your soul. Well, as far as your body needs to learn how to submit, or your old nature, your flesh. And we train to do that because, to be honest, your flesh nature doesn't really want to follow God. It kind of likes following the devil because it feels better for it. It likes to not submit itself to God, but that's another story in itself later on. Now, God has always made a way. If you've ever read the Old Testament, you're privy to the information that God healed people in the Old Testament. He used either the priests or the prophet primarily, as well as other things. And, you know, if people, you know, that remember the time, I believe it was a leper came to Jesus and healed him, and he said, go show yourself to the priest. I mean, that didn't make no sense to me. But see, at that time, Jesus hadn't totally finished everything, so he wanted him to go old school, the way they were supposed to. And so God had made provision. You know, all through the Old Testament, you know, when things happen, you know, matter of fact, the people of Israel, if they walked in obedience to God, he even said, you know, those even who sinned and got into unbelief when they went in for the first time to the promised land, and they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, it says, you know, they didn't have any health issues and things like this. God just took care of them. So God is more than able, and I believe that most of us would probably say, yes, Pastor Brad, I believe God is able, but is God willing? That's our problem. We believe God can, but we don't believe God will. And that's because of strongholds in our mind, things that are holding us back from being able to grab a hold of things in faith. Some things we assimilate easier than others, and this is one that sometimes is a little bit harder. Now, in the New Testament, we know that, you know, people were healed. If you've ever read the New Testament, I encourage you to do so if you have not. We know that Jesus healed people. Also, Jesus sent people out. He sent the 12 and he sent the 70, and then he also made other provisions for his people to be able to walk in divine health. He sent them out to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Not all healing is instantaneous. Some of it is progressive. You know, but we still are commanded to lay hands. Now, in this passage of Scripture here in Isaiah 53, like I mentioned, it talks about griefs and sorrows. That's what it says in most translations. Well, that word in the Hebrew, the word griefs is really talking about sickness. That same word is translated sickness many other times in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And the word sorrows is translated pains many other times in the Old Testament. The translator at that time just chose to use griefs and sorrows. You know, which for years, that's why some of these people that don't believe God loves them enough to heal them. And really, that's what it comes down to. They just don't want to. I'll tell you, it takes a lot of guts to actually walk up to somebody and pray for them. You don't see something happen right then. And that's why they quit doing it. I've walked away from people. I hate to say it, I prayed for people and they died. But God still told me to. Not right then. They were dying anyway before I got there. But they asked me to come. You know, but I've seen people touch too. I wish it worked every time when I did it, but I'm not going to up here and lie to you and say it works every time that I see it, you know. Does that mean I'm going to quit? No. I'm still going on after God. I want to know why. I want to learn things. I want to find out what God says in His Word about it. I want to get my mind renewed to the place that it needs to be so I can understand everything that God has for me. Because I want to help as many people as possible. See, sin and sickness had to be dealt with, and that's why God sent Jesus to pay for it. And what we have to do is the first obstacle in our mind that needs to be restored is we need to settle it. Is it God's will to heal today? We have to get that in our head. And don't go by what your body tells you, because your body will lie. Your body will not agree with the Word of God. So we have to figure out, what's the final authority in our life? Is it God's Word or is it my feelings? See, we live in a culture today, this generation has risen up that is more feeling-oriented than any other generation previously, where they just go by what they feel all the time. Now, we've struggled with that. Everybody has since history. But this generation now is more feeling-dominated than any other. F.F. Bosworth said, faith begins where the will of God is known. And see, we can start to tap into faith and to walk in God's Word when we know what God's will is. And it's a deal. Now, back about this Isaiah 53, you say, Pastor, that's Old Testament, man. I know. Matthew 8, 16 and 17, just in case you were wondering. It talks about the idea where he quoted Isaiah 53. And it confirms that in Isaiah he was really talking about healing, because what that says in Matthew 8:16, it says Jesus went out and he was casting out demons and he was healing all who were ill. And he said they were quoting Isaiah 53. So that tells me that Isaiah 53 wasn't just talking about emotional problems. It's actually talking about physical problems. And how we need to be able to assimilate that and to bring it into our mind so that we understand what God says about it. Now the next passage I want to look at is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 11. And we're just going to do a brief little explanation of this. This is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. It says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongue, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing each one individually just as He wills." So, here is one way in the New Testament that God heals today. And He does it through the gift of healing, gifts of healing. Okay? Now, these are called the charismatic gifts. These are more accepted in full gospel churches than they are churches who don't believe these things are for today. Now, just in case you're curious, we believe in these things. That's one of our statements of faith. We believe that, you know, everything in the Bible is still in play that God has for us. And I do not see any place in Scripture where God gave a gift then took it away. So we still believe these things are possible and hopefully probable. Amen. That's what we want. So these are the gifts. The word here is word charis, which is talking about grace. And that's talking about unmerited favor, meaning these gifts cannot be earned, but only thing that can be done is yielded to. You cannot just wake up one day and say you're going to flow in this gift, because the Holy Spirit gives this gift out, and we do not control the Holy Spirit, right? We know that. We cannot control God. God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and He's everywhere at once, and God's in control. But what we need to do is to say, "God, I want to flow with You." So that means, and to be honest, not everybody may flow in this gifts of healing. You may have other gifts that God's given you. You know, there's, faith, miracles, speaking in tongues, interpretation. You know, all these things are here, and they're still in play. You can't pick one. God's Word isn't a supermarket. You know, where there's some aisles, I don't do a lot of shopping, but there's some aisles I don't go down, because they don't have nothing I want. And I pick and choose. There's some areas of the freezer department I've never opened. I don't want that stuff. But when it comes to God's Word, I got to go to every page. Amen? I just can't in every chapter, every verse. You know, we just don't. Now, some of them you have to read through the understanding of the cross. You know, some of the Old Testament thinking. You know, we're New Testament people, so we have to look at it from that angle. And that's important that we don't get sucked into trying to interpret things that way. But primarily, we just need to understand that, you know, the best thing, I'll be honest, this is the gift that we all would like to flow in. I mean, I don't know about you. And this is the gift that we all want to receive from. You don't have to have a lick of faith to get healed with this gift in operation. Because this gift is a manifestation of God doing all the work through a vessel. And you can just show up, and some unsaved person can just show up and get touched by God and get healed miraculously. And then you got a saint sitting over on the other side, may not get nothing. I don't know how it works. But God's the one who does things. Sometimes word of knowledge is an operation where God may call somebody out and want to minister to them, but I don't want to go too far onto that today because I have a lot of information to cover here. So it's really a walk of faith, and like I mentioned, it's a God-initiated healing, so we need to be open to that. Now I wanted to get to this passage. So there we see that God sometimes originates the healing on certain people, and I've watched this in operation, and I've flowed in it some myself. Like I said, not as much as I want, but you know, like I said, I'm always wanting more from God. Not that I'm greedy, but I just want to see God glorified. All right, now the next passage I want to look at, and this is a little bit longer, and I want to get to this one because it's a beautiful story. It's in Mark chapter 5, verse 24 to 34. Mark chapter 5, verse 24 to 34. Story about Jesus. And it says, "And he went off from him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and endured much at the hands of physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, 'If I just touch his garments, I will get well.' Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, "Who touched me?"' And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman was fear and trembling, aware that what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Not about you, but that's exciting. Now this is in the Bible. And what I see from this is desperate faith. Desperate faith. This is the kind of faith that will not be denied. Amen. It's the kind of faith that you and I should get into first time, but sometimes we don't get there yet. Now, a little bit of background about this. Jesus was on a mission of mercy, shall we say. Jairus had come up to him and told him his daughter was deathly ill, and he begged Jesus, just begged him, to come and to save his daughter, like most parents would, right? You love your kids so much, you want to see them healed and saved. Didn't want them to die. So Jesus said, okay. So he was on his way to work a miracle. He was on his way to be able to help this person who had cried out to him. During this time, Jesus' reputation had preceded him. Hence, Jairus had come to him. And all these people were just wanting to get a little touch. You know what I'm saying? They were all just pressing in. Just wanting to get close to the man of God. Just wanting to get a touch from him. So they were all pressing in, touching him. And then, nothing happened for them. At least Scripture didn't say it right there. But then a little background about this lady. She had had this hemorrhaging issue for 12 years. She was technically considered unclean. That if anybody would touch her, they would have been declared ceremonially unclean, at least until the evening offering. That's what happened when somebody has this kind of affliction. So I don't know about you, but a 12-year-long battle where people treated you like an outcast, and then you went to every doctor there was in town and probably the town next door, spent all your money, and you were still had this affliction, what would that drive you to do? Well, it drove her to reaching out in faith and touching Jesus. Now what happened, I'm not against doctors and, you know, all that stuff. I thank God for them. And we need to go there if our faith isn't going the way that we need. But, you know, she was financially broke and she couldn't really go anymore. And so she had to come up with another solution. And like I mentioned, here in the West, Western thinking, our mind is so, because we have such great doctors and hospitals and all this stuff, and technology has come along so far. It's just amazing. Amazing what they can do. And so in our mind, we have a lot of trust in that. I mean, I think most of us, if we were honest, if you had something, you would probably say that, yes, a doctor can probably figure this out and fix me. I think you could probably say that for the most part. Now, not everybody gets fixed. I know that. But here, they didn't have this advanced technology like we do. So they either had to use your faith or you died. You know, just as simple as that. And that's where she was in life. She came in her life between a rock and a hard place. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in your life where situations and circumstances were so far out of your control, you had nowhere to go? And I think, you know, when you're between a rock and a hard place, she finally came to the conclusion that she had to come to the rock and then he could deliver her out of the hard place. And that's where we need to get in our life, where we know that God is the answer. She reached out. She touched him with a faith that wouldn't be denied. Now, I don't know about you, Jesus was in tune with the Father. The Father usually told him stuff, but for whatever reason, the Father didn't clue Jesus in on this story until later. See, Jesus was just on his way. He was just about the Lord's business, the Father's business, you know. He'd been anointed by the Holy Ghost and because he had emptied himself of all of his divine authority and came down and was anointed by the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And so he was busy. He was on his way to go help somebody. But all of a sudden, he felt the power of God flow out of him. Didn't know what that was. I mean, he knew what it was, but he didn't know where it went. Everybody was touching him. But then he figured out, he looked back, and this woman who was in a desperate situation and had desperate faith had reached out and it drew the healing power out of Jesus into her body. And she was healed. And that is a true story from the Bible. I don't know what that does for you, but that gives me inspiration. Now, faith reached out and touched him and the power of God. Now, I want to just share a couple hindrances to us before I go a little farther. Satan has a couple hindrances that he uses in our life. And I call them the SS, kind of like Hitler's SS, you know what I mean? Strife and stress. You know, remember I said I told you that I had been able to walk in health for several years now? It's been a goal. I noticed that whenever I was under stress, I would be more susceptible to illness. So with me, with my lightning quick intellect, don't get stressed out. Amen? How hard was that? Oh, there's opportunities to get stressed out. But I don't take them. It's not worth it. Strife. Not worth it. Because remember I said earlier that emotional things can have an affecting on our organic body. So these things, that there's certain things, people, if we just learn to manage, it'll help us to be able to walk in some divine health and to be able to do some things, you know. If that's important to you, I just wanted to throw that out. So manage your strife and manage your stress. Now, when I got saved, I was fortunate enough to get into a church that preached the full gospel message. And I consider that fortunate because I could have easily picked the church that didn't. You know what I'm saying? And I thank God every day that I got involved there. Some people mock this kind of teaching. I ain't going to lie to you. They mock the faith message. They mock faith preachers. I mean, I see it on Facebook. It's all I can do not to, you know, You know, there's a certain denominational guy in town that kind of mocks faith preachers. I've stayed quiet. I probably will. I got to walk in love, no strife. Amen. You know, I'll be honest, not everybody does it right. There's some faith preachers that maybe go a little out of balance and maybe got misunderstood. But I will say this. Can anybody show me in the Bible where it discredits the importance of faith in our life? I challenge you. Show me a scripture. Where does it discredit that? What I see is that it's important to be able to have faith, to be able to reach out and to receive from God. You know, I'm kind of frugal. Most people know me. That's why, you know, I don't go waste a lot of money. But what I find out is doctors cost money and divine healing costs faith. Which one do you want, you know? Well, you can pay cash or you can just get your faith built up. Amen? Depends what's important. Now, I want to ask you this, and I want you to be really honest, but please don't answer today. I want you to think about it. If you're laying on your deathbed, now I hope this don't happen. If you're laying on your deathbed and you need a miracle, who are you going to call? Are you going to call some preacher that prays, "If it be thy will, Lord, would you please heal, if you have time, this suffering servant?" Or are you going to call a tongue-talking, devil-casting, Bible-believing man of God? Fair question. I'll be honest, there's some people I won't let pray for me. That sounds cruel. But I'll say, nah, that's okay, I'm good, you know. Because I know what God's will is. And I want to find somebody that's going to pray for me that believes in the same way that I do, that God is a good God, God saves and God heals and God fills with His Spirit. Amen? And it's available. We may not walk in it all the time the way that we should, but I would rather always be striving for what the will of God is revealed and heading that way than pull back and just accept whatever happens, happens. Amen? So we need to be the people that fight through. So, first we need to accept Jesus as our Savior, and then we need to accept Him as our healer. Now we're going to pray here.